If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The faith chapter is an amazing chapter. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." The reader or readers of this epistle were being tempted to go back into Judaism at the time and to put their faith in Moses and in the law. Their confidence was in visible things, things that they could see, and not the invisible realities of Almighty God. Instead of going on to perfection or maturity, they were backing up and going back to perdition or wasteful life. In this 11th chapter, all Christians are called upon to live by faith. And he gives us some great examples of individuals that challenge us. Live by faith. Now, true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. This faith operates quite simply. God speaks, we hear his word, we trust his word, and we act on it no matter what the circumstances or what the conditions. Now that's the kind of faith that we're going to talk about this morning. The circumstances may be impossible, and the consequences might be frightening and unknown. But we obey God's word out of we obey God's word just the same and believe him to do what is right all the time. God always does what's right. The unsaved world does not understand true Bible faith, probably because it sees so little of it in action among church members. Three words that I want to share with you this morning in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 3. And I think it summarizes to us what true Bible faith is all about. And that's the word substance, evidence, and witness. Now, the word translated substance literally means to stand under, to support. That is, faith is to a Christian what a foundation is to a house. We know that if you're going to build a house, you've got to have a strong, solid foundation. And then when the storms come, it will stand the test of time. But also understand that substance, faith is to the Christian, it gives confidence and assurance that the Christian will stand, so that you might say faith is the confidence of things that are hoped for. When a believer has faith, it is God's way of giving him confidence. Now, I'm here to tell you that I have never, ever seen heaven. But I can tell you it is real. I can tell you that there are literally streets of gold. There are gates of pearl. And the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, when I study the Word of God, it becomes reality to me. I know it's God's Word. And I know that every promise that he makes, he keeps his promise. Now, the word evidence simply means conviction. That is the inward conviction from God that what He has promised, He'll deliver. He'll perform. I'm going to tell you, every promise in the book is precious because it's real. Every promise will one day come to pass just the way that He said that it would. Then He uses the word witness, obtained a good report. Don't you want the heavenly witness to say of you what they said of those in chapter 11, that they had a good report? They were faithful. You see, all of us have a testimony. All of us want to be able to have folks say of us that they were faithful. Now, brother, I know I'm going through this life one time and one time only, and that's the way you're going. And one of these days you're going to leave, and all that's going to matter then is that you've been faithful. You've been faithful. I want the Lord to say of me what He recorded of these men in Hebrews chapter 11. And there was a great cloud of witnesses. You see, these are individuals. They witnessed to us because God witnessed to them. You see, these are individuals that were faithful to do exactly what God's word told them to do. And God gave them witness to their personal faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, the writer of Hebrews makes it clear that faith is a very practical thing. In fact, in spite of what unbelievers say, faith enables us to understand what God does. The world doesn't understand that. Faith also enables us to see what others cannot see. And as a result of faith, we know that it enables us then to step out by faith and to do what God has commanded for us to do. J. Oswald Sanders said it, I think, very well. He said, faith enables the believer, that believing soul, to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Now, while I haven't seen heaven, and it appears to be invisible to the naked eye today, but I'm telling you, beyond this veil of tears and across the river of death, there is a place that God has put together with His own hands and with His own might in order that we'd have a place that we could go to when this world is over. And I'm telling you, it's coming to a screeching halt. Yes, all you've got to do today is just look around and see all the evil that is present. But I'm here to tell you the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. To walk with the faithful. That's why it's so important. You can't make it without church. You can't make it without your church. All of us are God's people. Ronnie texted me while they were gone on vacation. I don't think he'll mind me saying, but he talks about his church. Everybody needs a church. Everybody needs to know that I've got a place where I'm loved and I can serve and I can do the will of God. And I can grow in grace and in knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Leadership. I think all of us recognize the qualifications of leadership in a church. It's not just the pastor, he's just the shepherd leader. But leadership shows the way by faith. They walk by faith. They have a good heart. They love people. They love doing the will of God. They enjoy serving. It's not a chore. But you see, some folks look like that proverbial Missouri mule. You know, they've got a drawn up, ugly face when it comes to doing the will of God. I hope none of you from Missouri today. But you know, a leader in a church is one that is faithful to attend the services of the church. To be a witness, to work. Now, I'm going to tell you, a pastor sometimes gets some undesirable jobs in a church. But and I don't mind them, I don't mean to say that, because I enjoy serving the Lord. But I've had folks tell me, "Preacher, there's a spot back there on the carpet. You need to get it up." And that's the exact words. And then there's another time when, "Preacher, the ladies' bathroom's got a commode stopped up. You need to get it unstopped." I'm here to tell you that whatever you see to do, put your shoulder to the wheel. With God's help, get it done. Have joy in your heart doing it. Have joy. I'm going to tell you, if you don't enjoy serving the Lord, something's wrong with you. You've been eating persimmons or something. But a faithful servant of God is not only faithful to the church, they're faithful to serve, they're faithful to give. I don't hardly ever say anything about giving in this church. You know that. We ought to be faithful to give. Good times, bad times, in, out, up, down, it does not matter. You owe your tithe to the Lord because he said, "Bring ye all the tithe to the storehouse of the Lord." Now, if you don't make any money, you don't owe any tithes. But if you make a dollar, you owe a dime. God help us that we'll be faithful stewards and leaders in the church. And we set an example. We set an example. People look at us. I'm going to tell you when, and I'm getting closer to that age when I might be just jumping over. And it won't be just a step over that little Jordan River. It's a deep river. But I've got a friend that's going to escort me across. And I'm convinced that when that time comes, I want him to say to me more than anything, that I want to hear more than anything else, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." A man sometimes amuses his family when he's perplexed and troubled. He cries out, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Soon I'll be done with all the troubles of this world, going home to be with God. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home." The longings in this life is that something better than what we have down here awaits for us on the other side. I don't know exactly what's all in heaven. God didn't tell us. But I'm going to tell you, he told me enough to whet my appetite. He told me enough to say, "Carl, you want to go there?" And then when I stop and I think about hell, hell is real, folks. Now, a lot of folks think, well, it's just something that they use to scare their children with. No, hell is real. It's a place of fire and brimstone and torment. It is an evil place where evil people go and where the devil and the false prophets go. You see, hell is real. And I just get to thinking about it just a little bit, and it just makes me want to know I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to that place. Now, the writer of Hebrews wrote of people who were searching for a place, a home, where their faith could be fulfilled, where the promises of God could be claimed in full. There would be an absence of evil and a spiritual distraction. Our writer has created for us a Heroes Faith Hall of Fame, recalling those who were known for their great faith, yet full reward was not realized down here on earth. I'm telling you, what God's got in store for you, you cannot imagine. What He's got in store for you is so special. And when that time comes and He comes back for you, I don't know what you believe about the end time, but I believe one day soon the Lord's going to rapture His church out. That God's going to take us home. You know, and I've just kind of got off my sermon a little bit, but I've always thought, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live when the rapture comes. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen that way. I want it to happen that way. You know, if I could cheat that grim reaper, I'd laugh in his face. And I'd rejoice when the Lord came back and called us up in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'd go into the presence of God, and for all eternity, we'd be in His presence. Well, the Bible tells us, and I hadn't even got into my sermon yet, and you know me, I cut it like a stick of bologna, you know, where when it's time for you to go home. Because I know that if I preach longer than the seat can endure, the mind will click me off. The Bible tells us about some of the patriarchs, and I'm going to just talk about two real quick. Enoch was a grandson of Adam. He was the father of Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years of age. You think, boy, I'd like to live a long time. No, you wouldn't. You know, if you had an old frail body and you couldn't hardly get around and you had to have folks help you do everything you do, you wouldn't want to be here. So I'm glad that God has just given us 70, 80, 90, or 100 years, or if by reason of strength, that'd be 114. You see, I'm glad that this world is not it. This is not home. And we've got a nice home, but it's not home. Praise God, we've got home on the other side. Enoch was a man that had the testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God. They said every day, tradition says that they walked together, him and God. And one day they got closer to God's home than Enoch's home. And God said, Enoch, why don't you come on home with me? Enoch said, I think I will. I think I will. One of these days, we're going to come to the place in our life when we've come to the last step of the way. And the Lord's going to say, it's enough. And I've always told the Lord, when I'm not effective, when I'm not able to serve, when I'm not able to glorify you, will you please take me home? I want to serve to the best of my ability. And the closer I get to the other side, I want to do all I can. This church is tremendous. It's great. It's God's church. And we're God's people down here. I'm just the under shepherd. God is the shepherd that guides us and directs us. And he wants us to go into the world and preach the gospel and bring folks in. Oh, that we could have the testimony of Enoch. I'm going to share an illustration. I'm going to close. Executive Bob Shank wrote in Total Life Management, he said, most everything I needed to know in life, he said, I learned on the football field. My team was a melting pot of ethnic flavors coached by a similarly broad mix of committed men. My mentor was a 6'5", 265-pound persuader by the name of Minnie Pantaflor. Bob Shank said, as the giant on the defensive line, I weighed 172 pounds without my uniform. Manny would often start with me when demonstrated a point. One day as we lined up for scrimmage, Manny decided to capture a teaching moment. He had a particular way of seizing our attention. He would grab your face mask and pull you up just like that. I remember Coach Bill Malone did that to Phil while I was sitting out there in practice and he wasn't paying attention. So Sharon, if he doesn't pay attention, he grabbed that face mask and pulled him up and he got in his ear and he hollered so loud we could hear him on the sidelines. He said, now do you hear what I have to say? Yes, sir. So this is what Manny did. He grabbed that face mask, pulled him up, and he told him what he wanted him to do. He said, I don't want you playing the whole field. Here's your part, your job. And he let me go, and he used his foot to draw a 10 by 10 square foot box. And in that 100 square feet box, he said, this was my territory. I couldn't miss it. This square is yours, he said. Anybody from the other team that comes in your square, you put them on their back. And he said something else. And then he went on when he found out that I had learned what my responsibility was. He moved on to the middle guard, Ernie Norton. He went through the same theatrics. Property rights were assigned in 100-foot square increments to 5 linemen and 2 linebackers. None of us went out of there without knowing exactly what our job was. He said, time has passed, and I think of Manny often when I tense up over what needs to be done on a global scale. I have a tendency to become frustrated, then fatalistic, because I can't get my arms around all that there is to do. It's at those moments that I need to remember that I'm not assigned the whole planet. I've only been entrusted with a particular slice of it. This is the portion of the world for which God will hold me accountable. God doesn't want you to do everything, but he wants you to do what he's called you to do. And he puts it in increments to where we can understand, we can get it done. And he will empower us in order to accomplish. I'm going to tell you, the best days of this church are not behind it. They're in front of it. Souls are out there that need the Lord. And you know, we've got some visitors this morning, and I thank God for you. That's what we're all about. We care about people. Amen. We want folks to be saved. We want to go to heaven together. We want to lock arms together and march up to the throne of glory. And the Lord say, you've been a faithful church. Amen. And I want to take as many with us as we can. Amen. Will you bow with me?